All right, so awesome. Aren't we having a blast at Crosspoint? Anybody having a good time? Love it, love it, love it. Love all of you. I just pastor one of the best churches in the world. I'm so thankful for every one of you, and you're making a difference. So exciting to hear what God's doing. Just want to say welcome to part three of our series next, our final installment of this series. And while I do that, let me just say welcome to all those who join us every week online. Just want to always acknowledge you. So thankful that you're with us along for the ride, whatever state, whatever part of the country or world you're from. Can we give it up for those that are with us online? So glad that you're here today. Whether you're watching live or watching later, we're glad you're checking us out. And most importantly, we don't want to just connect people to people. We want to connect people to God, which is what this thing is really all about. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want to jump right into this series that we're doing next. And the reason for this is that we're doing this is that we find that there are people in different stages on their spiritual journey. We had some great decisions that were made on Easter Sunday, followed up by the next week of people getting water baptized. And we had several that joined us on our growth track and taking that next step. And in fact, we've got some that are going to be completing the growth track today that started on Easter Sunday. Come on, give it up. Isn't that awesome? And so excited about that. And what we're discovering is people, again, they're making decisions. And when you make decisions, you need to know once you make a decision, okay, what do I do now? What is my next step? And so we've kind of been going through that. Part one, we talked about baby steps and really how that relates to the instructions of Jesus that we should be water baptized, making a public declaration that we are followers of Christ. We talked about that again. It was a great experience with water baptism and following that message. And then last week we talked about then not only did Jesus come to save us, but he came to deliver us, came to heal us, came to settle our yesterday so that we could have a tomorrow. So we talked about what it meant to not only get out of Egypt like Israel got out of Egypt, but also then to get Egypt out of you. We talked about those four things that we emphasize here as a church about coming to Christ, getting saved, but then also being delivered, being set free, being healed. And then not only that, but about discovering our purpose. Once I've realized I'm not who the world and my past said I was, I discover who I am. He sets me free from all that. Then I discover who I am in Christ. We talked about discovering our purpose. And then also how that we are to be fulfilled in this journey of following Christ. Today, I want to answer the question, what is God's plan for my life? And so, what do I need to be doing? And really, it's the same answer for every person. I want to frame this by showing you two verses to set up this message today. We're going to look at Psalm 90. It's there in your message notes. Also, you can download those notes online and follow along with us. Those are there on our website. And love to have you joining us with this. Psalm 90, verse 12. Actually, this was a psalm that was written by Moses. And he said this. He said, "Teach us to number our days." Now, when he says teach us to number, he's not talking about putting a number on the days. He actually says teach us to recognize that our days are numbered, that we're running out of them, that every day counts, and that we should take every day seriously. And then look at the next part. He says teach us to number our days. And then he also says that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, we know that wisdom is applied knowledge. If you know what to do, that's knowledge. But having the ability to do it and to do it, that's wisdom. You say, well, I know what to do. I got a lot of wisdom. Well, unless you're applying it, that's not wisdom. That's just knowledge. There's a difference. And so, but what he says is help us to not only know what to do, but how to do it and to apply it to our life. So a lot of us know what to do. We just don't do it, right? And so there's something missing. I mean, no one on their deathbed, as we look at this verse, no one on their deathbed wishes they'd spent another day at the office, right? I mean, you know, yet we pour our whole life into that. Every one of us knows the value of family. Yet, does our schedule reflect that? A lot of things we know is important, but we don't do them. And the reason we don't is that we don't understand the value that this verse is talking about. So we know what to do, but we don't apply it. So you can't have a heart of wisdom, first of all, if you don't know the value of today. Are you following me? Unless you understand the value of today, you really can't have that wisdom and apply that wisdom. And if you knew you only had a few days to live, do you think you would live differently? Well, newsflash, guess what? We only got a few days to live. Welcome to Crosspoint. I'm just here to encourage you. But it's really the truth. I mean, we only have a few days in light of eternity. James says your life is but a mist. Let's look at a New Testament, a verse from Ephesians chapter 5. It puts it this way, so be careful how you live. Everybody say this out loud with me. Don't live like, come on, say it not a soft but a loud. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And so live likewise. Then he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. That word opportunity in the Greek is the word kairos. And what it's talking about, there's a very short window of opportunity. It relates to time. It's a short opportunity. It's a short, just a speck of time. And so we got to make the most of this short amount of time that we have. So make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So before we can understand what the Lord wants us to do, we have to have the right value. We have to understand what life is all about. Do we understand really what life is all about? I'm going to read you something. I'm going to share something with you that really will explain fully what life is all about. This is probably not theologically correct, but let me just share this with you. On the first day, God created the dog, okay? And he said to the dog, sit all day at the door of your house and bark at every person who goes by. And for this, I'll give you the lifespan of 20 years. And the dog said, that's a long time to be barking. How about instead of 20 years, let me just live 10 years, and I'll give you back 10 years, and God agreed. Okay, on the second day, God created the monkey, and he said to the monkey, entertain people, and do monkey tricks, and make people laugh, and for this, I'll give you a 20-year lifespan. And the monkey said, that's a long time to be doing monkey tricks. How about I do like the dog and keep it to 10 years and give you back 10 years? And God agreed. So on the third day, God created the cow. God said to the cow, you're going to go into the field with a farmer and suffer under the sun, and you're going to have calves and produce milk and work on the farm and provide for the farmer's family. And for this, I'm going to give you 60 years. And the cow said, that's a long time to be out there working so hard in the field. How about I do like the dog and the monkey and just keep 20, and I'll give you back 40. And God agreed. Y'all follow me on this. Okay, so in the next day, God created man. Does anybody know where this is going? Okay. And he said to the man, eat, sleep, play and enjoy yourself. And for this, I'll give you 20 years. And the man said, what? Only 20 years? I mean, how about this, God? How about give me the 20 years, give me my 20 years, and the 40 years the cow gave back to you, give me those 10 years, and the 10 years that the monkey gave you back, and the 10 years that the dog gave you back, help me give me those years. And God agreed. So that's why for the first 20 years, we eat, sleep, play, and enjoy ourselves. And for the next 40 years, we slave in the sun to support our family. And for the next 10 years, we do monkey tricks to entertain the grandchildren. And for the last 10 years, we sit on the front porch and bark at everybody who goes by. You know I'm going to say it. That's funny, and I don't care what you say. All right, so now you have it. Life has been explained to you. Now you know how life works. No, seriously, though, in order to know what's next, you really have to have an understanding of life. And I think it begins with this, and that is having the right values. You've got to know what really matters. So I'm going to make the case that the vast majority of us, we spend our time, our money, our energy, our efforts, our worries, our concerns, our prayers even, about a lot of stuff that at the end of the day really doesn't matter. But you can't take the next step in any part of your life if the wrong things matter to you, if you're not understanding what the right things are. So I want to give you three things. Actually, and this is the same for all of us, there's actually only three things that really, really matter. Number one, write this down. Number one, God matters. God matters. Two, which you could say, hey, we're in church. Amen, Pastor. Amen. God matters. But does your life reflect it? If I were to follow you around this week, or you follow me around this week, would our life really reflect it, that we're living our life in such a way that we could say of each other or of ourselves, yes, God really does matter. God really does matter. Or are we just, as far as our relationship with God, he's on the list, but he's not at the top of the list. Can I just say something? As gently as I can. If he's just on your list, and you think he's just on your list and he's somewhere in there, but he's not on the top of your list, guess what? He's not on your list at all. Because God requires being first. And he's one that makes everything else in life work and make sense. But if he's not at the top of the list, guess what? It's not in order. That's really what salvation is all about. It's reordering your life to reflect that he is at the top of the list. In every area of your life, he comes first. He doesn't compete with things. He completes things. Amen? So when you put him at the top of your life, that's when life makes sense. And I just think that we've got to be careful with that. So, again, one day, here's this truth. One day, we're going to stand face to face with the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, and we're going to be asked a question. And the question is going to be, what did you do with my son? What did you do with this relationship? What did you do? He's not going to ask about your church membership. He's not going to ask how many times you came to Crosspoint. He's not going to ask what denomination you're in. He's going to say, what did you do with my son, Jesus? And so that's where, and I think oftentimes we're chasing the wrong things. I mean, if you just stop and you look, you can look around you in a literal sense, or you can look around you in a social media world, or however you want to look around you, and you'll see that people are chasing the wrong things and stuff. There's nothing wrong with stuff, but if that becomes the object of what you think is going to fulfill you and satisfy you, you're sadly mistaken. And I see people filling their lives with a lot of stuff, thinking if I can get this, I can get that, I can get that thing and that stuff and that, that it's, life's going to work for me. And it's sad because it's a dead-end road. It's been proven many times just following stuff is always a dead-end road. It's been traveled many times. I was actually coming through an area of town the other day, and I just saw people. I wasn't judging them, but I was observing. I was observing. And I thought, why do people do that? Why are people... I had this sad reality that people are chasing the wrong things, filling their lives with the wrong stuff. I think we could say that looking around us, but we also got to check ourselves even within the church or the body of Christ, not just a building, but in, you know what I'm saying, in the church body. Oftentimes we're chasing the wrong things. We're doing stuff. But do we have a relationship with Jesus? And that's what matters. And we know that's important. You've heard me share this many times, that Jesus said that there will be many that appear to come to him that day and say, Lord, we did this and that for you. And he says, I never knew you. Depart from me. You were doing stuff. You were religious. You're in church, but you did not have a relationship with him. So I have a responsibility as your pastor to encourage you. Folks, it's all about relationship. It's about knowing Jesus, amen, having a relationship with him. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He says, but whatever was to my profit, in other words, those things that I thought mattered, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. He goes on in verse 8 to say, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. In fact, I count them rubbish that I may gain Christ. He realized that there was nothing greater, nothing more exciting, nothing more wonderful than following Christ. Hey, everybody, I want Crosspoint to be a place that's so exciting and so wonderful that you're having such a blast following Jesus that there's nothing else wherever there is for you that holds any kind of competition with the greatness of Christ. We consider it as rubbish. We don't look back, as Lot's wife did, on the past. Look, we're looking forward and we're believing for great things and what God is doing in our life. Now, that's why we want to have a place that is life-giving and filled full of faith and knowing that Christ is alive and he's risen, as we sung about a while ago. Amen. We want that kind of an environment. Amen. Amen. It needs to be life-giving. But I'm afraid that at times perhaps we worship not just him, but we worship things. I mean, really, when it gets right down to it, worship is love expressed. And sometimes we express such a love for stuff. You know, Jesus described a man who put emphasis on the wrong thing and stuff and gaining more stuff and more things. And Jesus said to him this in Luke chapter 12, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Look at verse 21. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things, stuff, for himself, but is not rich toward God. Again, God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. Amen? And so we've got to think about how we live our life. So, again, God matters. Let me give you the second thing that matters. The second thing is people matter. People matter. If there's one thing that, if anybody's upset here today, or it's one thing you're upset about today, it's probably about somebody else. Isn't it the truth? I mean, people just, they have it, it's part of their gift, is to upset you. It's part of people's gifts, just to ruin your day. It's, you know, there's people that are just, it make it easy for you to hate them, like Paul Youngie Cho, who said, every day I forgive so many people because I hate so many people. One of the pastors of probably the largest church in the world. Admit, you know, I appreciate that honesty. But isn't it the truth? People. I used to say facetiously, Pastor would be okay if it wasn't for people. I don't mean that. You know I love you. But I'm just saying, people, right? Everywhere you go, there's people. And you're a people too, by the way. And everywhere you go, there you are. So there you go. So anyway. But some of us are, listen to this, some of us are carrying around offenses and wounds and hurts. Somebody needs to hear this. That's destroying you. It's killing you. And I just want to say to somebody, it's time to let it go. Nobody's perfect, and that includes you, right? And you say, well, you make that sound trivial. Just let it go. It's not that easy. You don't understand. I know. I may not understand, but I do know that thing will destroy you if you do not let it go. I've got to say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I had something happen to me yesterday. Got under my skin. I had to remind myself, life's too short. Let it go. Come on. get, because what's going to happen if we don't let it go? Some of us have relationships that you're in, and I don't know if you're watching online or where you are today, where you're in a relationship, and that person is, you're ready to let the one thing go that matters, and it's that person. People matter. People matter. Ready to let the marriage go and fall apart, and yet you could have one of the greatest marriages if you work through this and stick with God. On the other side of that, there's a great place of victory. Amen? There's a great place where actually when you go through something together, guess what? It has the ability, you think, well, it has the ability to drive me apart. Guess what? It has the ability to pull you together closer than you were on the front side of that if you do it God's way. Amen? So people are extremely important, and we got to practice forgiveness. And we just say, well, I got a right to feel the way I've got to. Well, that's fine. You got a right. So you could walk around with unforgiveness. And you've heard me say this before, unforgiveness is like you setting yourself on fire hoping that the other person will get smoke inhalation. You know, it doesn't make sense. You're hurting yourself. You're only hurting yourself. So I'm going to encourage us today, practice forgiveness. Galatians chapter 5 says this, serve one another in love. The entire law, the whole Bible, it's all about, this whole thing is summed up in a single command. Here it is, the whole thing. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? We're to love God, right? First and foremost, but we're also to love our neighbor as ourselves. So, number one, God matters. Number two, people matter. People matter. And it goes on to say, let me read the rest of that. If you keep on biting and devouring one another, each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Right? People talk about, what is it, ulcers? Ulcers don't come from what you eat. It comes from what's eating you. Amen? It's not what you put in. It's what you're spitting out, too. Right? Hate and bitterness. So God help us to forgive. I mean, think about it. You remember 9/11 when that happened? And I don't know what your memory is of that. But I remember that they actually aired recordings of people who called their family and couldn't get their family, but they left a voicemail message and said, I know we had words this morning, but I want you to know I'm sorry and I love you. Or I haven't told you this lately, but I want you to know that I love you and I love the kids. I love you. Suddenly, when your life is at the end of life, you realize that thing that you thought was so important this morning, you know, as they did on 9/11, didn't matter. Suddenly, Psalm 90 comes and says, time is short. God, help me understand that and give me the wisdom to focus on what matters. People matter. See, I believe we're spending way too much time fighting with people, fussing about people, getting mad at people when we're supposed to spend our time impacting and loving and serving people. Somebody, that's a good place for an amen right there. Come on, you can do better than that. I'll amen myself. Amen. Amen. Right? That's what this thing's all about. Your life is about making a difference in people's lives today. And so there's going to be a second question. The first question is going to be, what did you do with my son when you stand before God one day? And depending on how you answer that, you'll get a second question. If you don't answer that one right, you're not even going to get this question. That's the great white throne judgment. But there's another question that's going to come if you pass that question. I'm just helping you pass the test, okay? Second question is, what did you do to use your life to impact others? There's going to be a ceremony, and God's going to be talking about what you did on this earth. There's going to be a reward ceremony. So there's a second question. What did you do to use your life to impact others? Because others matter. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 35, Jesus says, hey, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And they were like, when did we ever see you thirsty and feed you and give you something to drink when you were thirsty? And Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did it for me. Amen? So people matter. God matters. People matter. Third, write this down, eternity matters. Hey, everybody, the vast majority of our life is going to be spent on the other side of this thing. You know that. Vast majority is an understatement. And can anybody explain to me what eternity is? I mean, come on. And, you know, when you're going through something in this life, it helps to know that there is an eternity and there is a heaven. I mean, when you see families who suffered a loss and you don't know what to say, all I know to say is thank God for heaven. There's a heaven. Amen. There's more to it than this life. There's a heaven coming. Oh, I just feel like going there for a minute. Where there'll be no more crying, no more dying, no more sighing. Come on. You're not going to get tired. You're not going to get achy. Come on. You're not going to get old. Just time will be no more. There's going to be a place. Come on. There's no more taxes to pay. Come on. There's no more insurance bills. Krispy Kreme, hot light always on, right? I mean, that's heaven, right? There's a heaven coming. Somebody said something about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A? Maybe Chick-fil-A will be there. I don't know. Anyway, listen, it's going to be, there is a promise of a heaven. And so it matters. It matters. Eternity matters. Let me give you a scripture from Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. So now that we understand God matters, people matters, eternity matters, when we understand that, be on your guard then against all kinds of greed. Don't get caught up in all this stuff. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That is not what life is all about. Matthew chapter 6 also says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where does our heart need to be? What matters? Where do we store up? We store it up and putting emphasis, right? Loving God, loving people, right? Understanding that eternity matters. We need to know what matters. And how do you know what your next step is? How do you know what, unless you know what really matters? But once you know what matters, then you know what next steps to take. So that's why I think it's important we understand the values here, and then we can take our next step. We need to value our time, value the day, understand that what matters is God, what matters is people, what matters is eternity, and then we're able to take some next steps. And how do we do that? I believe it's this way. Number one, write this down. Know your purpose. Know your purpose. So we're not just in a survival mentality, just trying to get through life, get a bunch of stuff while we're here, thinking it all is involved in this existence, in this life. No. And then we just have this survival mentality. No, listen, when you understand the value, you understand your time, you understand what matters, then you begin to understand and know that you need to take this step of knowing what your purpose is. So there's a difference between survival mentality and significance mentality. Amen? There's a big difference in just surviving from day to day. But now I know what matters. Now I know why I'm here and I understand my purpose, and now I have a significance for being here. And sadly, only 13% of people know what their purpose is. Can I give you a story of someone that you may know? You ever heard of Elvis Presley? Everybody kind of knows who Elvis Presley is, right? He is a guy who sold there were 250 million albums that he sold. He was in 33 movies. In 1977, when he died, he had over a billion fans when he died, it's estimated. And when he died, there was 300 Elvis impersonators. And guess what? Today, there's 85,000, which means by the year 2030, we'll all be Elvis impersonators at that rate, right? And so you would think of a person that popular that he would be happy and be fulfilled. But there was a Reader's Digest interview with Priscilla Presley. And here's what she said. Listen to this. She said, Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for some people, you think? That agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it, so he'd go on stage so that he wouldn't have to think about it. Now, I wonder how many people tomorrow morning are going to go up on stage at work or school or wherever you are, and just kind of do whatever, go through the motions, not really knowing why you're doing what you're doing and what having any significance to what you're doing, but just kind of going through it, not thinking about it, and just muddling and surviving through life. Think about it. So how do you find your purpose? Well, you're never going to find your purpose until you discover the one who put that purpose in you. Right? You're not going to connect with your Creator. I mean, you're not going to discover unless you're connecting with your Creator, right? You've got to connect with the Creator, the one who made you. David knew. In Psalm 139, listen to the confidence that David knew his purpose, knew his Creator, knew why he was here, knew why he was made. He said, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. He knew his Creator. He knew where he came from. And he says, so I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew who he was. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Think about this. He knew who he was. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. He knew who he was. I mean, he said, man, God, you did an awesome job when you made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm yours. I knew who I am. He had confidence. Isn't that great? I mean, it's not arrogance, but it's knowing who you are. It's knowing who you are. It's interesting. You know, they say women, when they look in the mirror, they don't see how wonderful they are. You know, I mean, they could be drop-dead gorgeous, and they look in the mirror and go, oh, I got a little, this is not right, and that's not right. And, you know, a guy will look in the mirror, and he could be a ugly, big old whatever, you know, you just got a lot wrong, and walk up to the mirror and go, yeah, you look good. You know, I mean, I don't know what that is. You know, it's true. Think about it. I'm just trying to help you see yourself how you're supposed to see yourself, okay? I'm just saying. But David, he knew who he was. He said, God, you made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And look at that last part of that verse 16. Be there. He said, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I know this was all planned. You see, God has a plan for your life. You're not an accident. That's why we do the growth track, that you understand what your purpose in life is, that and help you discover your design, because design reveals destiny. Amen. Last week was step 3 of the growth track. And wasn't that fun? Anybody went through the growth track, enjoy that? Come on. And you find, and I got, and they came out of the growth track, and I looked at them, I said, well, did it confirm? Did it connect? He said, yeah. I mean, that stuff is just good stuff. I love that. But listen, design reveals destiny. It tells us what we're supposed to be doing. And then it says, our days were numbered in your book. Right? Let me tell you something. The reason why we emphasize this so much around here, and we keep emphasizing the same thing, because that's what God's called us to do. It's in the Great Commission. It's all through Scripture. It's everything he told us to do. But the reason, one of the things, if you don't discover your purpose, you're going to be difficult to pastor. I'm just going to tell you. Because you're going to have issues, and that's okay, because we've all got issues. I mean, right? We all got, and if you don't have it, if you say, I ain't got any issues, well, then that's your issue. I'm just saying, we all got issues. We know that, right? But when you, if so the solution is not helping you solve your
your problems, because you're always going to have problems. You're always going to have issues. But the solution is to find something bigger than your problem that causes your problem to diminish. And the problems may be there, but you've got something greater than that. I mean, look at the guy who said, my life was so fulfilling, and I counted all rubbish for the cause of knowing Christ. This was a guy, Paul, who went through all kind of suffering and persecution and imprisonment and all this stuff he went through. And yet, he's like, he counts it all joy. He's in the Philippian jail, right? We're writing a letter to the Philippians from jail, talking about how he counts it all joy. Amen. What is that? It's that you got to. It's the secret is discovering your purpose and understanding there's something bigger than what you're going through. Colossians chapter 1. Let me read this to you in the Message. It says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. So number one, you got to know your purpose. Number two, write this down, grow to your potential. So we got to know and we need to grow. And growing is not just getting information, because information never changed a person's life. All change happens in the context of relationships. I mean, God created this system for you to grow. He said, I don't want other people. That's the problem. No, actually, God put those people in your life to help you grow. We need other people. Listen to this. God created a system for you to grow, and it's people. He uses people. And don't you think that possibly that's the reason why the devil attacks relationships so much? Because he knows that's where you're going to grow. So he tries to get in the middle of the relationships and cause problems, because he knows that's where the growth is going to happen. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Have you ever seen iron sharpening iron? It's pretty spectacular. There's sparks going everywhere. I mean, it's just sparks happening, going everywhere. And that's the way it is when God puts us in relationships. And yet we want oftentimes to bail on the relationship instead of dealing with the relationship, staying in there. I mean, listen, marriage is one of the best schools you could ever go to grow in your relationships. I mean, and to grow in life, right? Amen. Get in that relationship. And you say, well, I just want out. I don't want to feel uncomfortable. I want to get out of that. I'm uncomfortable with this. I want to be happy. Listen, newsflash, God did not come to make you happy. Welcome to Crosspoint, everybody. God came to make you holy. Why? Because he's more concerned about your character than about your comfort. Amen. I'll amen myself there. And that's why we get small groups and get into small groups, because we want to be able to get in relationship with somebody, and somebody looks at you and goes, did you know you got spinach in your teeth? You know? Not literal spinach, but you got a blind spot, something going on. I just wonder today, don't raise your hands, but I wonder if I took a vote today and had you raise your hands, how many would say, yes, I'm a person who can receive instruction, and you could tell me if I got a blind spot and I got spinach in my mouth. That's a true test in my teeth. That's a true test of maturity, really. If you can let somebody, if you can allow somebody, if you can give somebody permission to speak into your life and say, hey, I don't know if you realize you're doing this, but there's something you need to know about. How many would get defensive, walk away, and say, well, fooey on you. You got anything, yeah, man. Come on. Let's get real here this morning. Church should be a place where you get real, take off the mask. And which is the other part of small groups. It's where you take off your mask and say, hey, you see all this? And it looks like, I got it together. I don't. And I need help. And I need to talk to somebody. You're going to grow in relationships. Amen? So we need to know. And we need to grow. Know your purpose. Get in the growth track. Grow. Get into a small group. Put it on your notes. Put GT and put SG. Growth track and small group. So you get to spend the rest of your life, once you understand what matters, in doing what matters. And that leads us to the third point, and that is to sow the seeds that benefit others. Sow. So we know our purpose. We know that God, first, it's all founded on knowing what matters. God matters, people matters, eternity matters. And so, therefore, we're going to take steps and we're going to know our purpose. We're going to grow to our potential. And then we get to sow seeds that benefit others. So today we want to sow. We're going to sow. So perhaps you've already encountered that before you came in the door. But as you go out the door, you're going to hug some people. You're going to love people. You're going to care about people. You're going to tip the lady at the restaurant. Come on, you're going to go to work tomorrow morning a little bit early. You're going to go buy Krispy Kreme donut. Okay, for Pastor Steve, go buy Dunkin' Donuts. All right, you're going to get some donuts. You're going to take it in to work for the entire office. Come on, you're going to glaze everybody. You're going to glaze the whole office with love. Come on, and affection. Come on, we're going to make a difference. We get to sow. We get to make a difference. We're going to be intentional. We're going to do like the team did yesterday, the small group team who went out to a park and picked up trash and made a difference. Maybe it's going to the Greenway, handing out some water bottles. Perhaps it's connecting with somebody after church and say, hey, I'd like to call you this week. I'd like to connect with you. I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up. It's high-fiving people in the parking lot before they even get a chance to get in the door and making a difference in somebody's life. Sowing a smile. Come on, sowing a hug. Sowing some love. Lifting somebody up. When you understand your purpose, you get away from your issues and your problems and your woe me and your pity party. I heard Brian Houston this week, I love it, at the art conference say, you know that if you have a pity party, you can send out all the invitations that you wanted to send and invite everybody you know to come to your pity party, and you know the devil's the only one that's going to show up. I thought that was pretty good. I said, I'm writing that one down. I mean, think about it, though. We get to sow, everybody. We get to sow. We get to make a difference. When you understand that God matters and people matters and eternity matters, we get to sow and make a difference in people's lives. Amen. It's awesome. I understand my purpose. I understand I'm going to grow to my potential. I'm going to develop what God's called me to do. And then I get to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what we're here to do, everybody. That's what life matters. That's what matters to life. Okay. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me give you this final verse. It says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will reap generously. So you're going to just barely do this thing, one foot in, one foot out. Well, you know, you're going to get the benefits of that. But if you go all in, come on, if you sow generously, you're also going to reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we're going to give today, however, whatever means that looks like. All right, we're going to give. We're going to give to others. We're going to think about others. So you will be made, this is what happens, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. On every occasion. Look at that. On every occasion. Today, the value of the day. And through us, in your generosity, will result in thanksgiving to God. So let me read it again. You'll be made rich in every way that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I'm calling this church for us to know our purpose, to grow, to get in a small group, to sow, to make a difference. And I want to give an invitation today, because it may be for you that you just say, I just need to get closer to God. I need to get in right relationship with Him. That's where it all begins. That's where nothing else is going to make sense until you begin there. And you might be saying, like we said earlier, He's on the list, but He's not at the top of the list, and I need to make Him first place in my life. That is what salvation is all about. Come on, everybody. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. And I want to give an opportunity today for somebody, again, to put God at the top of their list. It's what being saved is all about. God, I'm living my life for You. I'm telling You, you'll just survive and strive and struggle unless you really know God. Unless you discover who He is and then who you are in Him. You'll never discover who you are until you discover Him. It's all in Him. So today I'd like to lead in a prayer. If you need to make that step today of saying, I need to get close to God. I need to get in right relationship. I need to make sure I'm in right relationship. I want to lead you in a prayer, whether you're here live or you're watching online. I want to simply lead you right where you're seated. Between you and God, so I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, but I would like to know who I'm agreeing with. So if that's you today, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, when you lead that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you slip up a hand and you can put it right back down? Yes. God bless you. Good job. Yes, yes, yes. Hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching online, I can't see your hand, but I invite you. Join with us. And you can respond to us there and let us know the decision you're making as well. Right now, I want us to pray a simple prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's just a heartfelt, sincere prayer that comes from your heart, a prayer of faith that I just help you with. I'm going to lead you in it. But if that's you, I encourage you to pray, and I'd like to invite everybody here to pray this out loud for support. Can we do this? Come on, everybody, right now, just say this prayer. Just talk to the Lord. Just from your heart, say this. Say, God, today, you are important to me. I realize today you're the most important thing in life. And I want to have a right relationship with you. So today, God, I give you my heart. I surrender my life. I want you to be at the top of my list. Number one, first place. Because you're the one that made me. And you deserve first place. Come inside. Make me brand new. Thank you for dying on the cross so that I could have a new beginning. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Heal me. With all my heart, I'm going to follow you. Today, I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just thank you. I accept you now. God, thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, needed to pray it, watching online or here in this service. Maybe some that prayed that and made that decision for the first time, or maybe many that needed to reaffirm and just declare again. And the things got out of order, but they're making you Lord today. They're saying, God, I need you. I need to get closer to you. I need to recommit. Lord, I celebrate what you've done in their life. I praise you for the decision, the best decision they've ever made. Now, Lord, I pray for them. Again, on this journey, help them every day to take the steps they need to take to follow you, to go on to know you, to serve you completely. God, and as they do that, would you just be with them and encourage them, and your presence be mighty and strong in their life. Lead them in the path of peace. God, I pray for our church today. May we be that church that makes a difference. May we be that church, God, that lets our light shine. God, that knows why we're here and impacts this world for good, for the cause of Christ and for eternity's sake and for everything accomplished. God, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.